All right, so ready to dive into some pretty fascinating legal territory.
Always.
Today we're going deep on a Supreme Court case.
Ooh, Supreme Court.
I know, right? This one grapples with a question that honestly at first sounds kind of simple.
Yeah.
Can a police officer pull you over if they only know the car's registered owner has a revoked license? Like on the surface,
Right.
seems straightforward.
Yay.
But this case, Kansas v. Glover,
Okay.
really just blew open this whole Pandora's box.
Whoa.
I know, right? All these legal arguments about the Fourth Amendment, reasonable suspicion,
Yeah.
and then like that balance between public safety and individual
You
rights.
was gonna balance those.
Exactly.
Right.
And what I think is so interesting about this case is it really forces us to think about like how much weight we give to common sense
Oh, interesting.
versus actual police expertise. And are those two things
Yeah.
always the same?
Right.
And as you might guess,
Yeah.
the Supreme Court. That was pretty
Yeah.
divided on this one.
I bet.
Oh yeah, some fiery opinions for us to unpack.
I'm ready.
So what we're working with today are the actual opinions.
The real deal.
Yep, straight from the justices.
Wow.
Specifically, we're looking at the majority opinion
Okay.
that was written by Justice Thomas, and then the dissenting opinion
Yeah.
from Justice Sotomayor.
Right.
Just to kind of set the stage,
Yeah.
the case is about this guy named Charles Glover Jr.
Right, Charles.
He was pulled over and, surprise, surprise,
What?
found to be driving with a revoked license.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
The only reason the officer even ran his plates
Yeah.
was because he saw the car and recognized it as belonging to someone with a revoked license.
Oh, so the crux of the matter
Yes.
is whether that alone is enough for reasonable suspicion.
Right. To justify a traffic stop.
And the majority
The
said.
majority of the court said yes.
Interesting. So let's unpack Justice Thomas's reasoning here.
Okay. So basically, he argues that Kansas, they have a strong interest
In then.
in keeping unsafe drivers off the road.
Makes sense.
Right. I mean, fair enough. Like,
Yeah.
we all want to feel safe on the roads.
Of course.
And he goes on to say that it's just plain common sense.
Oh, common
Yeah,
sense.
to assume that the registered owner of a car
Right.
is often the one driving it.
Like he's trying to say, it's like
Yeah.
seeing a neighbor's car, right?
Oh, yeah.
Driving down the street. You just kind of naturally assume, oh, it's my neighbor.
Yeah.
He's applying that same logic to police officers who
Interesting.
have to make split-second decisions.
Okay, but this is where things start to get tricky. At
Oh,
least for me.
yeah.
Like, doesn't this give the police
Yeah.
just this really broad power to
Just.
stop people based on just probabilities
Yeah.
rather than like,
Yeah.
concrete evidence? I mean, couldn't they just start running plates like all day long
Oh, yeah.
and pulling people over based on this common sense assumption?
That's a valid concern,
Right.
but the majority tries to address that. They say the Fourth Amendment still requires individualized suspicion. It can't just be random, like a fishing expedition. There has to be something connecting the dots between that revoked license and the person actually driving the car right then.
So it's not just like
Right.
the police can just pull over anybody
Yeah.
who's driving a car registered to someone with a revoked license.
They need more.
Right, there needs to be some other factor
Right.
that makes them suspect the owner is the one driving
At that
in that
moment.
specific instance.
Yeah. And the majority even acknowledges
Oh.
there could be times where it's just
Yeah.
totally not suspicious.
Great.
Like, imagine the registered owner is like an
Yeah.
80-year-old
Guy.
guy.
And the officer sees a young man driving.
Right.
That wouldn't make any sense.
That's pretty clear cut.
Yeah.
But what about all those gray areas
Oh, yeah.
where it's not so obvious?
Right.
I'm curious how Justice Sotomayor
Oh,
responds to all of this
what does she say?
because she definitely has some strong opinions.
Oh, I bet.
She does.
All right, bring on the fireworks.
Yes.
I'm ready to hear this.
Okay, so
Yeah.
Justice Sotomayor's dissent is basically like a point by point
Wow.
takedown.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Of the majority's logic.
Okay.
And she does not hold back.
I love it.
So one of her main critiques
Yeah.
is that this whole approach basically flips the burden of proof.
Oh, interesting. How so?
So instead of the state having to prove reasonable suspicion that you're doing something wrong, it's suddenly on you.
Oh, wow.
To prove that you aren't.
So basically assumed guilty until proven innocent.
That's exactly her point.
That's a huge shift, like for the Fourth Amendment.
Totally.
That's huge.
And she also argues that the majority is relying on these assumptions about drivers with revoked licenses.
Okay.
Without any real evidence that officers were actually thinking that way when they made the stop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one thing to say statistically people with revoked licenses drive illegally more often.
Right, but...
But it's another thing to claim that the officer, you know, like when they see a car on the road, that they actually make that connection before pulling them over.
No, it's still a big leap.
Right.
Yeah.
And she also takes issue with this whole common sense reliance.
Interesting.
She points out what one person considers common sense might not be so common to someone else.
Yeah, totally.
Especially when you consider like different life experiences.
Of course, different perspectives.
Yeah. Totally. So then whose common sense are we using?
That's the question.
Right. And could this open the door for like implicit bias, you know, to influence those common sense judgments?
That's exactly what she's saying.
Right.
That this ruling could lead to stocks.
Yeah.
Based on just like demographic profiling.
And that raises
a red flag.
Huge Fourth Amendment red flag.
You can just pull people over.
Right. Because they fit a certain profile.
Right. Whether it's race, age, or whatever. Yeah. Socioeconomic status.
It sounds like she's arguing for a much stricter interpretation.
Oh, yeah.
Of reasonable suspicion.
Uh-huh.
One that relies on concrete evidence, not just generalizations or assumptions.
Mm. But there's another opinion in this case, right?
Yes.
We have a concurrence from Justice Kagan.
Yes.
Where does she fall?
So Justice Kagan is really interesting because she agrees with the outcome that the stock was justified.
Uh-huh.
But
there's a but.
She adds these important caveats that kind of complicate things.
Oh, how so?
She says that just knowing
that
a car is registered to someone with a revoked license might not always be enough for reasonable suspicion.
So she's not totally on board with this whole common sense argument.
No, not entirely.
Okay.
What she emphasizes is the importance of looking at the reason.
The reason for.
For the license revocation.
Okay.
So in Kansas, licenses are usually revoked for pretty serious driving offenses. DUI, reckless driving, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And in those cases, she says, it becomes more reasonable for the officer to assume that the owner might be driving illegally.
Okay, so if they've already shown they're willing to disregard driving laws, it makes more sense.
To assume they're doing it again.
Right.
But what if the license was suspended for something totally unrelated to, you know...
To driving.
To safe driving.
Yeah.
Like, what if it was for unpaid parking tickets?
Ooh, yeah, good point.
Would that change things?
That's exactly the question she asks.
Right.
Like, does the logic still hold up?
Yeah, and she seems to suggest that in those cases, it doesn't.
Interesting.
That you need a higher level of suspicion.
Huh. So even Justice Kagan, who does side with the majority, is adding some nuance to this whole thing.
Yeah, to this seemingly simple scenario.
Yeah.
It sounds like she's trying to find this middle ground
between
the common sense approach and protecting against potential abuse.
Okay.
And she even goes a step further by saying defendants should be able to challenge
these stops.
Yeah, these types of stops with evidence.
What kind of evidence?
Including statistical data.
Oh, wow.
So, for example, if you could show that stops like this.
Based
only on a revoked license.
Okay.
Rarely actually lead to finding someone driving illegally.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a strong argument against reasonable suspicion.
Okay.
Wow. So we have three very different perspectives.
Three.
I know. On this seemingly simple question.
Yeah.
Of whether knowing about a revoked license is enough to pull someone over.
That's wild.
I know, right?
And it shows you just how much goes into it, you know, like bigger picture stuff, the whole balance of power between law enforcement and individuals and the role of like data versus, you know, just gut feeling in these legal decisions.
And then how implicit bias can sneak in.
To these seemingly neutral policies.
It's crazy.
I know. It's like this case is just a tiny example.
Yeah, yeah.
Of all these big questions we're grappling with as a society.
Exactly.
It's fascinating.
It is.
But also a little unsettling to see how something as simple as a traffic stop can become like this battleground for these like
fundamental issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when we really dig into each of these opinions, you see these differences play out the actual legal arguments.
Wow.
It's like a masterclass in how judges think.
Yes.
And the impact those thoughts have.
I'm ready to go even deeper.
Me too.
This is getting good.
Yeah.
So when we come back, let's dive into the specifics.
The nitty gritty.
Yes. Of each of these opinions.
Sorry.
See if we can really make sense of this divided court.
I can't wait.
All right. See you in a bit.
See ya. Welcome back. All right. So before we get like really deep in the weeds of the legal argument.
Okay.
He really grounds his whole reasoning in the Fourth Amendment.
Okay.
And that requirement that seizures have to be reasonable.
Right. So we can't expect police officers to be absolutely certain before making a stop.
Yeah. They've got to make judgment calls based on what they know at the time.
Right. And so he's saying this assumption is reasonable enough to justify like
a brief
investigative stop.
Exactly.
Even if it turns out the owner wasn't driving.
Right.
That's the gist.
Okay.
But Justice Sotomayor, not buying it.
No.
Not one bit.
Not the common sense justification.
Nope. She says the Fourth Amendment needs more.
More than just a hunch.
Way more than a hunch. More than just like a probability.
Okay.
She wants specific and articulable facts.
Ooh, specific and articulable facts.
That would lead a reasonable officer to suspect wrongdoing.
So help me understand that.
Okay.
Like, what does specific and articulable facts even mean?
In this context.
Yeah, like what kind of evidence would she need to see?
So she says, just knowing about the revoked license, not enough.
Okay.
There needs to be something more.
Yeah.
Linking that license to the person actually driving.
Okay.
Right then and there, at that moment.
Think of it like a puzzle, you know?
Oh, okay.
You need more than one piece to get the full picture.
So, like, give me an example.
Okay, so it could be something as simple as
the
officer saw the driver do something wrong.
Oh.
Like a traffic violation before running the plates. Or maybe the officer knew already that this owner drives all the time.
Despite the revoked license.
Yeah, even though they shouldn't be.
Got it.
It's about having more than just a statistic, you know?
So she's not saying that the revoked license info is totally irrelevant.
Right.
It's just it can't be the only reason.
The only basis.
For the stop.
Exactly.
It has to be something, you know, that points to the driver doing something wrong.
Not just the owner.
Not just the owner, right?
Individualized suspicion.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Not just the car.
I'm starting to see how this, like, seemingly small detail about the officer knowing the owner was likely driving really matters for the Fourth Amendment.
Huge implications.
But before we move on,
I
want to go back to something Justice Sotomayor said about statistics.
Oh, yeah.
She seemed really concerned about that.
About the majority using statistics.
Yeah, to justify the stuff.
She's not a fan.
So could you, like, unpack that for me a little bit?
Absolutely, she says. Using broad statistics to justify stopping just one person.
Right.
That's a problem.
Okay.
She says, even if, like, a certain percentage of drivers with revoked licenses keep driving illegally, doesn't mean every driver with a revoked license is doing it at any given time.
You can't just assume everyone in that category.
Exactly, just because they're in that group.
Right, okay.
And she also doesn't like the specific stats the majority uses.
What does she say about them?
Well, she says they don't actually back up their claim.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, they cite a study showing a bunch of drivers with suspended licenses keep driving.
Okay.
But the study doesn't say why those licenses were suspended.
Now, that's important.
Super important.
Yeah, like, wouldn't you expect someone who lost their license for a DUI to be more likely to drive illegally?
Absolutely.
Than someone who, like, didn't pay parking tickets.
Exactly.
And the study lumps them all together.
All in one big pot.
That's misleading.
Totally. It makes the risk seem way bigger than it is.
It sounds like she's worried about the statistical reasoning being used to justify, like,
discriminatory policing.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. That's a big concern for her.
Okay.
She sees a direct link between the majority's logic and the potential for racial profiling and other kinds of biased enforcement.
So she's saying if we allow these stops based on like flimsy statistical connection.
It's a slippery slope.
It is. It's like that saying.
Okay.
If you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Like once you accept
that idea.
Yeah.
It's easy to justify stopping anyone
right.
who fits a certain profile.
Exactly.
Even if they haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
It's a good analogy.
And this is where that whole debate comes in.
The debate
about common sense
right.
versus, you know, actual police expertise.
Uh-huh.
Sotomayor says we should be valuing like the training and experience
of the officers.
Yeah, when making these decisions.
She's saying they should be able to explain
right.
why they suspect wrongdoing.
And it can't just be
statistical likelihood.
Yeah, it can't just be, well, this person's more likely to be doing something illegal.
Right.
So let's just stop them and see.
It needs to be more than that.
Okay, and this takes us back to Justice Kagan.
Oh, yes, the concurrence.
Trying to find that balance between those two viewpoints.
Okay. She agrees with the outcome,
mm-hmm.
but doesn't fully embrace the common sense standard.
And she seemed to say it really depends on the reason for the license being revoked.
Can you say more about that?
Yeah, so she argues if the license was revoked for, like, a serious driving offense.
Like a DUI.
Yeah, DUI, reckless driving.
Uh-huh.
Then it makes more sense for the officer to assume.
That the owner might be driving illegally?
Exactly.
Right, she's saying they're... common sense might actually work.
But like we talked about earlier,
yeah.
she's less convinced when it's for something like...
unpaid parking tickets.
Right.
Yeah, she wants a higher level of suspicion there.
And she even goes a step further.
Does she?
And suggests that people should be able to challenge these stops.
To challenge them.
With statistical evidence.
Whoa, that's interesting.
Yeah, so if you could show that these stops, you know...
based on a revoked license for...
like, parking tickets.
Yeah, unpaid tickets.
Okay.
Rarely find anyone actually driving illegally.
Yeah.
That could be a strong argument.
Against reasonable suspicion.
Exactly.
Wow, that's really specific. It is. So it sounds like Justice Kagan is going for a more nuanced approach.
Trying to thread the needle between the majority and the dissent.
Exactly.
That's a tough spot to be in.
It is. This whole discussion is making me realize just how complex these traffic stops are.
It's like an iceberg, you know?
Yeah.
The stop itself is just the tip. But underneath all these questions about legal standards, proof, police discretion, and how bias can affect things.
It's a lot.
It is. But that's why we're here.
I know. And I appreciate you walking me through all of this.
Happy to do it. It's fascinating stuff.
It is.
And when we come back for the final part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We'll look at what this ruling actually means in practice for drivers like you and me.
I'm ready for that.
It's a conversation we all need to have.
It is.
So stay tuned.
Okay, so we've spent the last two parts
really
digging into the legal arguments at the heart of Kansas v. Glover.
It's a big one.
It is. We talked about the majority's common sense approach.
Right.
Sotomayor's dissent.
Yeah.
And then Kagan trying to find that middle ground.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm curious about the ripple effects.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what does this ruling mean?
Practically.
Practically, especially for everyday drivers.
Well, the biggest thing is police officers now have more leeway to make stops.
And we talked about this.
Yeah.
How that raises those concerns about bias.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Right. Like, this ruling could give officers another tool.
Yeah.
That might be used to, like...
to target certain communities.
Yeah. Even if that wasn't the intention.
Right, and it's not just a theory.
Oh.
Since Kansas v. Glover, there have been a lot of legal challenges saying this ruling has led to more unjustified stops, especially in communities of color.
That's what I was thinking.
Some people say it's given police a green light for pretextual stops.
Pretextual stops? What does that mean?
So a pretextual stop is when an officer uses, like, a tiny traffic violation as an excuse to stop someone who they think is doing something worse.
But they don't have enough to go on.
Right. They don't have probable cause for the bigger thing.
So give me an example.
Okay. So imagine an officer pulls someone over for a broken taillight.
Right.
But they really want to see if the person has drugs or something else they don't have proof for.
So the taillight's just a cover.
Yeah, a smokescreen.
To justify the stop.
Exactly.
Which might not be legal otherwise.
And the worry is that this kind of policing gets used unfairly against certain groups,
based on
stereotypes, biases.
Right, rather than actual evidence.
And it can create a situation where some communities are just constantly under suspicion.
Even if they aren't doing anything more wrong.
Exactly. They're scrutinized more than others.
That goes back to what we were talking about before.
About
implicit bias influencing these policies.
Right. Even if the officer isn't trying to discriminate.
Yeah.
Their biases might make them more likely to stop some people.
Over others.
And studies show this happens.
Really?
Yeah, implicit bias is real.
Wow.
Even among people with good intentions.
It affects everything.
From those split-second decisions mm-hmm. to bigger judgments about guilt and innocence.
It feels like we've gone way beyond just this question.
About the revoked license.
Yeah, like now we're talking about the whole role of policing.
Yeah.
In our society.
That's the thing about this case.
And how to deal with bias.
It brings up all these big questions.
It really does.
Kansas v. Glover is just one piece of a much bigger puzzle.
So where do we go from here?
That's the question, isn't it?
It is. Like, is there any hope for finding that balance?
Between, you know.
Yeah, between respecting people's rights,
mm-hmm.
keeping everyone safe,
yeah.
and dealing with bias policing.
It's tough.
It is.
But I think part of it is more transparency mm-hmm. in law enforcement and accountability.
Okay.
We need more data on traffic stops.
What kind of data?
Like who's getting stopped.
Okay.
Why they're stopped.
Uh-huh.
What happens after.
So we can.
If there are patterns of discrimination.
And hold departments accountable.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense.
And we also need better training
for
officers to help them recognize their own biases.
Mm-hmm.
It's about changing the culture.
In law enforcement.
Yeah, to value fairness, impartiality, and respect for everyone's rights.
It sounds like a long road.
It is.
But I appreciate you talking about these solutions.
Of course.
It's important to remember that even with rulings like this, we can still push for change.
Absolutely.
For a better system.
It starts with these conversations.
Yeah.
Being open and honest about the issues.
Like we've been doing today.
Challenging our own assumptions. Listening to each other.
Working together.
To create a society where everyone feels safe and respected.
I think that's a perfect place to end.
It is.
Thank you for joining me on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
Into Kansas v. Glover.
Fascinating case.
It really is. And I know it wasn't always easy to hear.
Yeah, tough topics.
But I hope it gave you a better understanding.
Of what's at stake.
Exactly. And remember.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power.
It is.
And the more we understand.
About the law.
The better we can advocate for change.
Couldn't agree more.
Until next time, stay curious and keep learning.